money, suit and tie. I can read you like a magazine. Taylor Swift's song Blank Space, it's number one on the Billboard Hot 100 right now. She's the first woman in history to dethrone herself, because before that, her song Shake It Off was on top. But what makes a song shoot to number one is changing in the digital age. Derek Thompson writes about this in The Atlantic. He's with us now. Derek, welcome back.
Good to be here.
And people used to think about commercial radio executives deciding that a song had what it takes to be popular. You write that now that seems to be changing and things are being driven really from the bottom up.
It's true. This is the most populist moment in music history. And in the old days, 1950s, 60s, music was an aristocracy. You had hitmen at record labels on the coast essentially deciding what songs would be hits and then often paying radio stations to play those songs a lot. And so the songs, the hits were coming from the top. Now they're coming from the bottom. And the reason why is that it's so easy now to see what people are actually listening to. When we hear a song on Shazam, on YouTube, we're creating a relationship with music that can be searched and viewed and collected and studied by analytics companies and the record labels. And so when we hear hits on the radio and see hits on the charts, these hits are democratically sourced. It is the most populist moment in music history.
And when you say Shazam, by the way, for people who don't know, this is an app that many people have on their phones at this point, and you can hold it up to a speaker or maybe even in a crowded restaurant or bar. It'll listen to the song just for a few seconds and almost always can figure out what song it is. So you're saying that this app, Shazam, has changed the music industry.
It has. We think of Shazam as a relationship between us, the listeners, and the song. It's like a Google search for a song. But the same way that analytics companies can look at Google searches all over the world to see what people are concerned about, these analytics companies and record labels can look at Shazam data to see what's the most popular song now in Houston, in Brooklyn, in Hyderabad, India. And so what they're doing is they can debut a song online or play a song on a small radio station and see in real time how curious people are to know more about that song by looking at Shazam data.
And we have an example, and I want to play a song here. This is something that seemed to come out of the blue and rise right up the top of the charts. Let's listen. And we'll never be royal. That is, of course, Royals by Lorde, and you say Shazam actually predicted that that song would rise to the top.
Because Shazam essentially can see a map of global music curiosity, they can literally follow the interest in a song like Royals, starting in New Zealand, hopping over the strait to Sydney, moving on to the coast of the United States, popping up in Nashville. And this is really useful for music labels, but also for people just interested in the spread of information to see how does a contagion event really spread around the world. Shazam can answer that question for us.
So how is this data being used by record executives and radio stations? It seems that there's a lot of money at stake here if people can figure out how to use this in the right way.
Right. So I went to Republic Records and I talked to a scout there and had him show me how a scout literally uses Shazam in the real world. And here's what they do. You debut a song, a new single in a radio station, let's say in Houston. And what you can do is to check Shazam searches in nearby cities to see if people are searching for that song a lot. And if they are searching for that song more than the typical song, you can take that to other marketers and say, we know from organic curiosity data on Shazam that people, when they hear this song, they're leaning forward and they want to hear it again. And so what you can see is that our very organic and honest relationship to music is trickling up. And it's influencing the way that radio playlists are built and the Billboard Hot 100 is arranged.
So, sounds great, democratization of music and all of that. But many people are looking at this and saying, everything's becoming too bland. It's becoming too alike. We only want to hear music that sounds like the music that we already know. I want to listen here to a montage of some of the songs that have hit the top of the Billboard Hot 100 in the last year and a half. Let's listen. You better dance, let's make
So there we have John Legend's All of Me. We had Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball, Timber's Pitbull, Dark Horse by Katy Perry, and Fancy by Iggy Azalea. Derek, there is a similarity there to some of those songs.
Perhaps. You know, what I found when I talked to musicologists and people who really study the characteristics of pop music, they said that what's happening is that as music is becoming more democratic, it's also arguably becoming more derivative. It's certainly becoming more repetitious, more static, and less varied. So to go through those quickly, more repetitious. Radio now has played the same songs over and over again as it's learned that that's all we want to do when we tune into Top 40. Blurred Lines, the number one song of last year, played 70% more than the top song from a decade earlier. More static. Once a song hits the Billboard Hot 100, it just stays there. It reflects the fact that we're just listening to the same songs again and again, so a hit enters the top 10, it just stays there. And finally, less varied. There was a study from a Spanish university that looked at the chord progressions of the most popular songs in the world. They found that the diversity of chord progressions was falling by the decade, and particular in the last 20 years. So again, more repetitious, more static, and less varied.
Although I remember a radio station, I won't name any names, but it was a soft rock station that their motto was songs you know by artists you've heard of, which is apparently what many people want. So what does this mean for indie artists or people who aren't going to be the catchiest tune that gets picked up and Shazammed by everybody in America?
I think it's fair to point out that this is a wonderful time to be a fan of music because it's so easy to find stuff on YouTube, Spotify, Pandora. But here's the thing for that indie band. It's easier than ever to get your music listened to because you can upload it to the internet. But because it's so easy to do this, lots of bands are doing this. So you have more music than ever. A lot of it's incredibly experimental and interesting and extremely varied. But because it turns out that the vast majority of people just want to hear the same songs, you need a lucky break. You need to be on a commercial that millions of people see or on an American Idol episode that millions of people are watching in order to enter that power rotation of familiarity that really separates the gigantic hits from the vast majority of music.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, and we'll link you to his article all about this at hereandnow.org. Derek, thanks as always.
Thank you.